A champion of the working man, a leading figure in the Bakersfield country music scene, the most important country artist to emerge in the 1960s with over 100 recorded albums, a Grammy Award, and a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame. Merle Haggard has just released a brand new album, I Am What I Am. It is a great honor to have Merle Haggard on the line with us at KWMR, Community Radio for West Marin. Welcome, Merle. Mike and I are happy to have you on the line.
Well, thank you. Nice to be here. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Have you visited West Marin before?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I will tell you that, full disclosure, I live in the town of Olema, which you might have heard of.
Yes.
But I'm not a hippie.
You're not a hippie.
I'm not a hippie, but I'm from Olema. So, all right. Your new album, I Am What I Am, on Vanguard Records, came out in April 2010 and is already your highest chart debut in over 25 years, reaching number 18 on the country chart and number 76 on the top 200 album chart.
And this week we're number one in the Americana charts.
Congratulations.
Right. Congratulations. Great news.
Thank you.
The question really is, have you conceived of this album any differently than you did with studio albums in the past?
Well, you know, it just, I got tired of politics and stayed out of that category and went back to something that was simpler and easier to understand. And, you know, it's just, I think the subject matter is more tender and more musical.
Yeah, and you're touring with the new material. How have longtime Merle Haggard fans received your new work, and do you think that your audience has changed?
It certainly does. It evolves, and we have an ever-growing audience. We have young people and that are coming into our music, and.
And on I Am What I Am, your son Ben plays guitar, and you sing a duet with your wife Teresa. To what degree is this album about family and the role of family in your life?
Well, it's in some way it's a reality moment with, you know, the popularity of reality. Well, it's doing well because it is family that's making music together and you know, we're not on drugs, and we're not in trouble, and all that. And it's kind of unusual. I mean, my children, I got two, one that graduated from high school this week.
Congratulations.
And my daughter graduated 2 years ago, so I'm a young, you might say a young father here. And my children don't resemble anything you hear about on the news, and I'm glad and proud to say.
I think there's a lot of kids that don't resemble that. My son doesn't resemble that, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of great children.
Absolutely.
Merle, our show, the title of the radio show that Mike and I produce every other week on the radio here is Bakersfield and Beyond, and our focus is West Coast country music. And we know that your influences include Bob Wills, Jimmy Rogers, and Lefty Frizzell. We play all that music on the show. You also played with Wynn Stewart's band for a time, and you are identified strongly with the independent West Coast musicians and songwriters. How would you define the Bakersfield sound?
Well, it was in deference to Nashville, it was a little more barroom-ish. It came from the barrooms and the dance halls and the old barn dances and American Legion halls and the beer joints and the places that the railroad and the oil fields built. And it was the honky-tonks. The word honky-tonk might have originated in Bakersfield. You know, it was so full of them when I was growing up. And it was just a really great bed of opportunity for a guy like me that wanted to be an entertainer. So I started very young with the idea, you know, and got started in spite of some trouble along the way. I got started pretty quickly in my life and found myself working with some of the better players in the world, and we were We had something going. We called it the Bakersfield Sound, and we were all kind of aware of it, but we didn't realize that it would go on to be as well-known as it is, you know.
I have another history question for you. You played rhythm guitar and sang harmony vocals for Tommy Collins in the mid-1960s, and you wrote a great song, one of my favorites actually, Leonard, about this man. Can you tell us a little bit about your friendship with Leonard Raymond Sipes?
Well, he was going out of country music. He had a successful period in which he was voted number one most promising artist, I think, 1954, since Hank Williams. And he had over four, five, maybe six hit records. And then he decided he wanted to go into the ministry. And he left country music and went up to a little town called Lincoln, in Lincoln, California, and started pastoring a church up there. And he stayed up there for 4 years and liked to starve to death. So he, out of desperation, came back from up there and came down about the time that I was breaking into the Bakersfield clique, getting started there. Well, he came back trying to break back in himself, and him and I wound up on the same doorsteps and eventually wound up fishing together and writing songs and studying and examining the condition that he was in and compared to mine. And he would, for example, ask me questions. Do you think it's all right for a man of the cloth to play in a bar? And I said, Tommy, I said, you know, Jesus walked the streets with the tramps. And so he came back into the music partially because of my hoping, suggesting that he would. And I helped him as much as I could. And he had this great knowledge and instinct for writing songs, and he had a college education to go with it. So he was really a great mentor. He and Fuzzy Owen were my... And Bonnie Owens were people that shaped my writing in the early days.
So you met him after he came back to Bakersfield from going to Lincoln?
Yeah.
You didn't know him before that?
Didn't know him. I was a fan, but just as, you know, didn't know him.
And after playing and recording with others, what was the defining moment when you began recording and performing with your own band and playing your own material?
Well, you know, it's a stairway. I mean, you know, it was a stairway that was going up. And I think we'd recorded a little bit, not much, a couple of songs maybe, and I was able to get Win Stewart to let me have a new song that he'd written called Sing Me a Sad Song. And I knew it was a hit song, and he let me have it, and I recorded it, and it did. It went straight into the Billboard charts, number 23 from nowhere. Here was this young new singer, and it was due to that song. So I think that was probably the most important, or the moment I realized I had a chance, you know.
And do songs come to you, or do you purposefully sit down to write them?
No, they come to you.
Yeah. Do you?
You can't do it that way. You can't sit down and say, okay, I need to write a song about this.
That becomes work then.
It's just, it comes from where you don't know. It comes from God. It comes from the Force. It comes from somewhere else. It's... you're nurtured. It's like sometimes you're given messages. Sometimes they're in poetic form, and sometimes they're not. And I think it has a mixture of your talents to put it together, and you get it in your head, and then how to put it together might be left up to you.
And so, do the lyrics come first, or is it the music or the concept?
Well, the good ones, they all seem to come together. It just, there it is, and all the music's with it, and it's the first one to be surprised is the guy that writes it. You know, that's the way it happens to me. Or for me.
So, Merle, if we were going to ask you right now to just play one song for us, what song do you think you would choose right now and why?
Oh, I'd probably do I'd do something new off of the new album. Probably do How Did You Find Me Here? Or I Am What I Am.
Are you somebody who likes to look back and play the old music, or do you prefer looking at the newer songs that you've come out with?
Well, we got to pay the ones that sell the ticket. Play the ones that sell the ticket. You know, I mean, and you can't get tired of them. You know, the people come to hear them, and they come to hear them with a good spirited character. You know, and so you can't. Can't not do what they want, and you got to do the old songs for them, and you got to do for yourself. You got to do the new songs in hopes that that you're making progress.
Right, the fans obviously for them, they haven't gotten tired of that.
The way we do it, you know, we don't do any set list on the shows, and sometimes we don't do a certain song for a while. We get tired of it and throw it out. Well, we just kind of hit the stage with a group of material and let things roll, and there's a lot of comedy that comes off the top of your head once in a while. And it all works really good most of the time that way, rather than doing a set list.
Well, I saw you play in Santa Barbara last year, and I was sitting next to a gentleman who was sitting by himself, and I got to chatting with him, and he had come to the United States from the northwest coast of Australia on a business trip to visit cassette tape manufacturers. But he built the whole trip around coming to see you in Santa Barbara, and he sells cassette tapes to the Aborigines. And he has a radio station there in Derby, Australia. So he and I sat together with my husband, and we really enjoyed the show down there.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And that's interesting. He's here to talk about tape, or...
He's here to buy cassette tape still, because that's what the Aborigines listen to in Australia. And he had built his whole trip to visit these manufacturers on the West Coast to coincide with your tour.
Well, that's interesting information. I'm going to make sure we make some cassette tapes on this new record.
That's right. You should make sure, and I can get you his information. You can get him off to Derby, Australia.
All right.
We've stayed in touch with him, actually, because he knows... some Maori guy who played with the Buckaroos at one point in time, so, and he has the original recordings.
I'll be darned.
I know. Who knew?
Maori?
Yeah, a New Zealand native.
I'll be darned. That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating, and it's such a small world to, you know, for us to go all the way down to Santa Barbara and then run into this guy from Australia. And
yeah, that's.
Thanks for bringing us together, Merle.
You bet. I'm. You're welcome.
So, what music are you listening to these days?
I'm listening to my son play guitar. He's learning guitar, and he's just kind of knocking me out. And he's playing with us on the shows and all that. But he's going back through all the stuff that I went through to learn what I did. And he's completing his course. It took me 40 years, and he's doing it all in a lot shorter time than that, in 2 or 3 years. You know, he just really become a successful professional entertainer.
And he's young. He's a young guy.
17.
That's young, my book.
Just graduated from high school. Now, is he going to go on and continue with the music career, or is he going to college?
I don't know. I asked him those questions, and he hasn't given me any answers yet. But I suggested that he go to music. Get some music training in college, and I don't know if he wants to do that or not. He's interested in aviation. I know he's going to learn to fly, but it's for me listening to music. I'm really interested in watching him develop his style and everything.
And is he listening to older music, or is he listening to contemporary stuff, just like any young
he
guy?
He listens to everything from Jimmy Rogers to George Benson, you know. So he's listening to the whole gamut.
And on this new tour, you're also touring and playing some dates with Kris Kristofferson.
Chris and I have done some things over the last couple of years that we really enjoyed, and we're going to do some more. And there may be even a tour planned, you know, where he and I will do the whole thing together.
Maybe a little collaboration on an album coming up?
Could be.
Mm.
We'll be waiting for that one. Well, we know that folks have some great opportunities to catch you on tour this summer. We're going to be playing this show on the 10th, on our live show on the 10th, this pre-recorded interview, but we want to let folks know they can catch you in Napa, not far from here, on June 12th. And then on June 16th, you'll be at the Mountain Winery in Saratoga, just south of, in the Bay Area. And we wanted to let people know that all of the concert info is available on your website, which is www.merlehaggard.com, not a difficult website to remember.
Well, that's, thank you. I was going to addendum on that, but you took care of it, and I appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing everybody.
Well, we know that a lot of our listeners are going to be thrilled to death to find out that we've been able to talk to you. And we actually have quite a few people who tune in and listen to the show via the web in Bakersfield and wondered if you had any words of wisdom. We've been playing some new and emerging artists out of Bakersfield as well, and any kernels of wisdom for the folks that are regular listeners to Bakersfield and beyond.
Well, are you talking about webcasts and things of that nature?
Well, we are live on FM station, but we also stream so that folks all over the world can listen to this, to our show. And we know that there are plenty of Merle fans that tune in to Bakersfield and beyond and wondered if you had any words of wisdom regarding anything for our listeners.
Well, keep your britches pulled up, you know. That's all I can tell you. And go for it. And if you enjoy it, you'll be a success at it.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to talk with us. KWMR is a small independent radio station in Northern California, and I would like to tell you that your album has been getting a lot of airplay on many of the music shows on this station, and it's a lot of Americana, so it makes sense that you went right up to number one there.
Well, thank you for the airplay and for your interest, and I appreciate all of it, so thank you.
Well, if you ever find yourself up here, we maybe get you in the studio next time.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much, Merle.
All right. Bye-bye, Amanda.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
Take
Merle.
Care.
Bye.